Hello. We're going to look at chapter 14 of the Tao Te Ching and the Regina Dawn Akers translation of chapter 14 might be a little more interpretive than most other translations. So we'll look at why I did what I did. But first, let me just read what's written. Seek what you cannot see. It is called featureless, yet it is consistent. Listen for what cannot be heard. It is called rare, yet you can expect to hear it. Reach for what cannot be grasped. It is called intangible, yet it is profound. These three cannot be thought about or analyzed separately. They are intermingled because they are one. Upper existence is not bright. Lower existence is not dark. Interwoven, it all has no name. It all returns to nothing. It is called the no form of form. It is the empty essence in appearance. It is called nebulous, elusive. Welcome it. You cannot see its bright intelligence. Follow it. You cannot see its end. Hold to the ancient way. Let it guide your current steps. You can know the ancient beginning. This is called centering in the way. So let's go look at this translation. So starting with the first sentence, you can see the word for word. Look at, of, no see. And remember, of course, the of points back. So it's saying that you cannot see what you're looking at. Look at, of, no see. And then name, say. That's kind of like saying we call it, right? We call it. And then smooth, this particular character, as an adjective. Flatten this particular character as a verb. And actually, this particular character was really, really interesting to translate. If we look at what the dictionary came up with for that particular character, notice it says ancient barbarian tribes. Ancient barbarian tribes. And you can see that if I said, look at it, you know, look at, you cannot see it. We call it ancient barbarian tribes, makes no sense. So I really had to research that particular character. I looked in many, many dictionaries, and I did find that it means ancient barbarian tribes, or sometimes it just means barbarian, or sometimes it's non-Han people, with the Han being the primary ethnic group within China. So non-Han people. But this character is also used to refer to what the barbarians did in ancient times in battles. That character is used to refer to flatten or raise, meaning R-A-Z-E, raise to the ground, right? Tear down. If you imagine barbarians coming in on horses and attacking a village and destroying the village, burning the village to the ground so that there is absolutely nothing left. That's what that character also represents. When I went looking for words other than raise, R-A-Z-E, tear down, demolish, again, I looked at multiple dictionaries. I found that Another word is that is commonly used for this character is flatten, you know, like flattening the village, tearing it down, destroying it, flattening it. Very common. All of these, of course, are verbs. But I also found that as an adjective, sometimes it means smooth. So, you know, I am contemplating, right? We're talking about the Tao. You know, you look at it and you can't see it. We call it, right? You look at it, you can't see it. We call it. We don't call it barbarian. We don't call it destroy or tear down. It just felt like smooth and flatten were my best choices. When I'm thinking of the Tao, smooth and flattened felt better. But then I really had to contemplate what does smooth and flatten mean when referring to the Tao. Now, obviously, one choice I could have made was, you know, there's nothing there, right? There's nothing there. Just like when you destroy a village, there's nothing there. And in a way, I kind of chose that option because I have here featureless. I was really thinking about if we look at smooth and we look at flatten, the two words I chose, what did they have in common? And I thought about words that are different from them. For example, bumpy and rough. And I saw that smooth and flatten, as well as the idea of destroying a village, it really meant featureless, at least to me. Whatever features were there are no longer there when you destroy a village. Something that is smooth has no specific features. Something that is flat has no specific features. Also, featureless said to me, you can't see it. There are no features that you can see. So I felt like a good way to translate that particular character instead of barbarian was featureless. That seemed to be a true statement about the Tao. But as I went on looking at these next few lines, what I found is in each case, the last character in the line had multiple meanings. And I found as I contemplated the multiple meanings, instead of just picking one, I started to see the character differently. And so I came back up to this first character and I looked again. Smooth and flatten. What else do smooth and flat have in common that is true about the Tao? And what I came up with was they are consistent. Again, bumpy is not consistent. You know, if it's bumpy, you're going up and down and up and down, right? Rough is not really a consistent feeling. But smooth is a very consistent feeling. Flat is a very consistent feeling. So I decided instead of picking just one word to represent what this character meant, I would pick two words. And in fact, I did that all the way down. I picked two words to represent the last character more fully. And because I chose to pick two words, it really makes my translation a little different from the average translation. For example, the average translation says something like, look for it, you cannot see it, and so we call it invisible. Or in my using my word, it would be, and so we call it featureless. Listen for it, you cannot hear it, and so we call it rare. It would be one of the words that could be used from what I found in the dictionary. Roll around with the hand, meaning trying to grasp it, but you can't grasp it. So we call it tiny, right? This is a much more common translation. But since I chose to use two words, my translation turns out a little differently. Let's look at it. Seek what you cannot see, right? You're looking at or looking for what you cannot see. So you're seeking it, seek it. But it's not something you're going to be able to see. So seek what you cannot see. It is called featureless, yet it is consistent. Listen for what cannot be heard. It is called rare, yet you can expect to hear it. See, I had rare, hope, and expect as words I found for that last character. Roll around with the hand, trying to grab it. Roll around with the hand. But you can't get it, right? Tiny and profound. Reach for what cannot be grasped. It is called intangible. I chose intangible instead of tiny because tiny did not feel like a truth about the Tao. Tiny, miniature, slight. So even those words were more exact translations, I went with intangible. I think that's what the tiny was pointing to, what the miniature or minute was pointing to, was that, you know, you can't grasp it. It's intangible. It is called intangible, yet it is profound, because profound or obscure were other meanings that I found for that final character in that sentence. So seek what you cannot see. It is called featureless, yet it is consistent. Listen for what cannot be heard. It is called rare, yet you can expect to hear it. Reach for what cannot be grasped. It is called intangible, yet it is profound. The next line, these three previously mentioned cannot delicate investigate. That's the word for word. I said these three cannot be thought about or analyzed separately. You know, we're not asking separately, what can I not see, hear, or touch that I am able to trust because it's consistent, that I'm able to hear intuitively, and that is very profound. Although those are three different ideas, they're describing one thing. You need to look at them together to really understand what they point to. So these three cannot be thought about or analyzed separately. Cause reason, mix, and because one, right? So it's kind of like because they're mixed and because they're one is kind of what that Chinese word for word says. I wrote they are intermingled because they are one. So seek what you cannot see. It is called featureless, yet it is consistent. Listen for what cannot be heard. It is called rare, yet you can expect to hear it. Reach for what cannot be grasped. It is called intangible, yet it is profound. So there are several hints there that are pointing towards the Tao. You can't see it. It is featureless. It has no features, but it's consistent. We could say it's always here. You can't hear it like you can hear these words that I am speaking. Most people think that it's very rare, especially rare to be able to hear it. And yet you can expect to hear it intuitively if you're really listening for it, even though it's rare and it can't be heard with the senses. You can expect to hear it. You can't reach out and grab it, right? It is intangible, but it is profound, and you can know how profound it is. You can know it, know its profoundness, even though you can't grab it. These are hints that all point to the same thing. These three cannot be thought about or analyzed separately. They are intermingled because they are one. Moving forward, the word for word says, it's upper, no bright, it's lower, no dark. I said, upper existence is not bright. Lower existence is not dark. And what this meant to me is, it's not that humans, you know, with our brains and our intelligence that we have, are favored, are bright, and worms, which do not have our abilities, are dark and somehow not favored, right? There's not a difference between a human and a worm. Upper existence is not bright. Lower existence is not dark. Interwoven. It all has no name. It all returns to nothing. It is all the Tao, right? The human, the worm, and everything in between. The next word for word says, oh, let me point this out, by the way. I said upper existence is not bright, lower existence is not dark. And then the next word for word was rope. This first character here meant rope, cannot name, to return to nothing empty. Well, what is a rope? A rope is three woven together, right? Three strands or strings woven together makes a rope. And we've already talked about three interwoven. So to me, the rope pointed to those three interwoven. So I translated the word rope to interwoven. Rope cannot name. Interwoven, it all has no name. To return to nothing empty, it all returns to nothing. Again, upper existence is not bright. Lower existence is not dark. Interwoven, it all has no name. It all returns to nothing. It is all the Tao. Is, say, no state or condition of state or condition. Again, remember this with the word of points back to this. So the state or condition points back to the no state or condition. I translated that. It is called the no form of form. Nothing empty. That's one idea. Nothing empty. It appear. It is the empty essence in appearance. This is interesting too. It said it's is say, and say here again means like we call it, indistinct, indistinct. But if you look careful at these two characters, they are different. They both translated to indistinct, but they are not the same character. So I really contemplated the meaning of the word indistinct in relation to my awareness of the Tao, and I changed it to, it is called nebulous, elusive, right? Instead of indistinct, indistinct. It is called nebulous, elusive. Welcome it, no see its head. Now, some people translated head to beginning. So they may have said, you welcome it, you cannot see its beginning. But interestingly, down below, we are told you can know ancient begin. So I felt like head wasn't beginning. And of course, we know the Tao does not have a physical head. So I had to contemplate, what is head? Well, head represents intelligence a lot. And I know this is true, that when we open up to the Tao, we don't automatically know all of its brilliant intelligence. I used to imagine that was true. I used to imagine that once enlightened, I would be like Einstein and just know everything. It's not true. The truth is, what you come to know is what you need to know just in that moment. Very, very current. So you can welcome it, but you cannot see or you cannot know its brilliant intelligence. That's beyond what you can know. You can follow it, no see its back. I said you can follow it, but you can't see its end. I can never predict the new clarity, the new way of seeing, the new lessons that will be learned in the next day. This is a process of going deeper and deeper and deeper and having more and more clarity, more and more knowing. And you cannot imagine in the beginning where this is taking you. So I saw this as a true statement. Follow it. You cannot see its end. Go ahead and follow it, though. All right. Don't forget the follow it part. Word for word, hold in hand. This is something I'm holding right here in my hand, which means it's precious to me. Hold in hand, ancient of way. Use, manage, now of be. I translated that, hold to the ancient way. Let it guide your current steps. So the way has always been here. This is why we're calling it the ancient way. You're holding it very dear, and you use it to manage the now of be, how you are being now, right? What you are doing now, how are you responding now, how are you thinking now? Use, manage now of be. Hold to the ancient way. Let it guide your current steps. That which has always been here. Let it guide your current steps. Can no ancient begin? You can know the ancient beginning. And the reason you can know the ancient beginning is because as you gain more and more clarity, deeper and deeper intuition, see more and more truly. That which you are seeing and knowing now is the ancient beginning or the ancient Tao. The Tao has never changed. Remember the very first line I translated as, yet it is consistent. So you can know the ancient beginning because the ancient beginning is the same as what you come to know now when you come to know the Tao. Is say, or this is called way, discipline order, right? The discipline of the way. Think of that in a monk-like way, right? Like this is your spiritual discipline, the discipline of the way or the order of the way. Like I said, this is called centering in the way. So to me, what this particular chapter is saying is it's saying, although you can't see it, seek for it. It's very consistent. And because it's very consistent, you can find it, even though you can't see it. Although you can't hear it with the senses, right, with the ear. And although many, many people call it rare, the truth is you can hope and expect to hear it if you're really listening for it. You will find it in an intuitive way. And you'll be able to hear it, learn from it, follow it. Although you can't roll around with your hand and get it, you know, you cannot grasp it, it is most definitely intangible. It is profound, and you can come to know that profoundness. Again, these three are all pointing in the same direction. You can't think about them or analyze them separately. They're pointing at the same guidance to pay attention to the invisible, intangible, silent Tao, and you can know it as a direct experience. Upper existence is not bright, lower existence is no dark. Interwoven, it all has one name. It all returns to nothing. Everything is the Tao. Everything. Nothing is left out of that. The Tao is called the no form of form. It is the empty essence in appearance. Again, it's in everything. It is also called nebulous and elusive. But in spite of that, go ahead and welcome it. Now, you won't be able to see its brilliant intelligence. You won't suddenly become like Einstein. In fact, we often say that what we really get is the open mind or the I don't know mind when we welcome it. We welcome it with our emptiness. Remember the chapter that we saw before on emptiness? It's not going to fill us up with knowing everything, but go ahead and follow it. You can't see where it's taking you, but you can follow it. In fact, hold the ancient way as precious. And let it guide your current steps. In this way, you can know the ancient beginning. You can know the Tao as it's always been, because it is still that. Following the instructions in this chapter is called centering in the way. So that's my translation. Now, what I would like to do is share a few more translations with you. Again, just like with the last chapter, if chapter 13, I said if you go look up several different chapter 13s, you're going to find some different ways of translating. If you go look up several different 14s, you're going to find some different ways of translating. But the typical translation basically simply says, you cannot see it, you cannot hear it, you cannot touch it. You cannot think about these three things separately because they are mixed and they are one. And then goes on to say, let's see, its upper is not light, its lower is not dark. And then goes on to talk about how formless it is. You can welcome it and not see its head. You can follow it and not see its back. Again, maybe still pointing to the fact that it's formless. But you can welcome it and you can follow it. And you can hold to that ancient way and use it to guide your now. And then in that way, you come to know the ancient beginning, right? So that's a very common translation of how chapter 14 goes. So you'll see a lot of that. I want to share three with you that were a little different, just as mine was a little different. Because I really think that listening to all four of these helps to deepen the contemplation of what Lao Tzu may have been pointing to. I'm going to start with Jonathan Starr. I think I read from this book when we were looking at chapter one and chapter two. Jonathan Starr said, eyes look but cannot see it. Ears listen, but cannot hear it. Hands grasp, but cannot touch it. Beyond the senses lies the great unity, invisible, inaudible, intangible. What rises up appears bright. What settles down appears dark. Yet there is neither darkness nor light, just an unbroken dance of shadows. From nothingness to fullness and back again to nothingness. This formless form, this imageless image, cannot be grasped by mind or might. Try to face it. In what place will you stand? Because it's everywhere, right? Try to follow it. To what place will you go? Know that which is beyond all beginnings, and you will know everything here and now. Know everything in this moment, and you will know the eternal Tao. So, again, even though this is translated differently, what's consistent is that, the Tao is formless, and yet you can know it, right? You'll find that that seems to be the consistent theme in all of these, even though they're translated differently. I have a couple I want to share my screen and read to you. This is by John R. Mabry, PhD. Look for it and it cannot be seen. It is beyond sight. Listen for it, and it cannot be heard. It is beyond hearing. Grasp at it, and it cannot be caught. It is beyond substance. These three cannot be fully comprehended. They are fundamentally connected, and somehow they are one. Its highest isn't bright. Its lowest isn't dark. It is infinite, continually emerging, completely beyond description. It returns again and again to nothingness. And this is what nothingness looks like. It is the image of the absence of being. It sounds vague and elusive to me. That was that indistinct, but two different characters, right? It sounds vague and elusive to me. Approach it, and you will not see its beginning. Follow it, and you will not see its end. If you cling to the Tao of ancient times, the present will be no problem. To know the ancient origin is to follow the Tao. So see, there you go. You can know that ancient origin. You can follow it, even though it's vague and elusive and formless. Same theme. Let's look at one more. This is by Hua Ching Ni. Look at it, but you cannot see it. Because it is formless, you call it invisible. Listen to it, but you cannot hear it. Because it is soundless, you call it inaudible. Grasp it, but it is beyond your reach. Because it is subtle, you call it intangible. These three are indescribable and imperceptible. But in the mystical moment, you see it, hear it, and grasp it. The unseen, unheard, and unreachable presents itself as the indefinable essence. Confront it, and you do not see its face. Follow it, and you do not see its back. It does not appear bright when viewed at the zenith, nor does it appear dark when viewed at the nadir. There is nothing that can make this subtle essence of the universe distinct. When you try to make it clear to yourself, it evasively reverts to nothingness. You may call it the form of the formless or the image of the imageless, yet the elusive, subtle essence remains nameless. If you hope to meet it, it has no part you can call front. If you hope to follow it, it has no place you can call behind. Yet it can be observed in the constant regularity of the universe. The constancy of the universe of antiquity is the constancy of the present time. If one knows the primal beginning, one may thus know the truth of the universal subtle way. So you see, even though I call mine interpretive and I translated it using, one Chinese character, two words, using both words instead of just one, picking one word, the meaning is the same across all of these. The meaning is the Tao is formless, and yet you can know it. Let's listen to my translation one more time. Seek what you cannot see. It is called featureless, yet it is consistent. Listen for what cannot be heard. It is called rare, yet you can expect to hear it. Reach for what cannot be grasped. It is called intangible, yet it is profound. These three cannot be thought about or analyzed separately. They are intermingled because they are one. Upper existence is not bright. Lower existence is not dark. Interwoven, it all has no name. It all returns to nothing. It is called the no form of form. It is the empty essence in appearance. It is called nebulous, elusive. Welcome it. You cannot see its brilliant intelligence. Follow it. You cannot see its end. Hold to the ancient way. Let it guide your current steps. You can know the ancient beginning. This is called centering in the way. So the assignment then is to learn how to get in touch with our intuition or our knowing. That's the assignment. I can't really tell you how to do it because it's different for everyone. Maybe that's why it begins with seeking, listening, and reaching, because we do it differently. I can tell you what works really, really well for me. What works really, really well for me is to feel guided to a particular book. For example, one book that I am using, sorry, I'm trying to get to it. One book that I am using right now is The Path to No Self by Bernadette Roberts. And what I do in the morning is I sit down and I read a little. I don't read to learn. I don't want to learn from Bernadette. As much as I love her, I don't want to learn from her. I want to learn from the formless Tao. That's what this chapter is pointing to. So I read Bernadette, but as I read, I feel within. I may feel to read one sentence a few times. I may feel to read a few sentences or a paragraph and then just set and be. Oftentimes what happens is, for me, is that something will begin to come in, which is my own clarity arising from the Tao. I like to write or type that clarity, follow that journaling experience and see where it takes me. Also, sometimes what will happen is I continue to contemplate throughout the day the little bit that I read in the morning. Sometimes somebody will say something to me or send me an email that seems to add to what I'm contemplating, even though they didn't know I was contemplating it. Or I may see a movie that adds to what I was contemplating, or hear a song, or I'm just, you know, showering, doing dishes, going to the bathroom, anything at all. And suddenly a deeper clarity will come in. Now, these are ways that we hear the Tao, even though it makes no sound. So why don't you try investigating? What helps you to hear the Tao, which cannot be heard, so that your clarity, your awareness, your understanding is growing deeper? Literally, it can grow deeper each day if you do this regularly, right? So that's the assignment. Hopefully you'll take me up on it, because I will tell you there is nothing more exciting than having your clarity, your insight constantly expanding through your daily intuitive communication with the Tao. So give it a try. And I'll see you when we come back for chapter 15. Bye.